So in that notion, they started to say, let's get rid of, we don't need tattoo parlors to be licensed. We don't need cosmetologists. And then that slowly grew to include CPAs, engineers, even doctors. Like, imagine driving over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and it says, this bridge built by an engineer with a 4.2 rating on Yelp.
All right, welcome back, gang. Bill Sheridan here. This is episode number 104 of Future Proof. Glad to have you here. And let's get the formalities out of the way right off the bat, shall we? As always, this week's show is brought to you by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses, dozens of instructors, unlimited customization, all of that good stuff. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. Now, on to business. And boy, the beat just goes on, doesn't it? We're now in, week 20? By my count of our response to the coronavirus crisis, and sure, that number may vary depending on where you live. For me, that place is St. Louis, Missouri. So here's when the world changed for me. I remember it vividly. Monday, March 2nd. So I left St. Louis for Seattle that day, spent a couple days there, then flew from Seattle to New York for a conference. And then I flew home on Friday, March 13th, and then all hell broke loose. And sure, things were starting to get a little crazy already by that point, but everything just went downhill really fast from then on. The first, I think, health department order in St. Louis went out on March 13th, and by March 21st, the city and county of St. Louis had started requiring residents to stay at home. In Maryland, Governor Larry Hogan ordered the closure of all non-essential businesses on March 23rd, and life just hasn't really been the same since, has it? Nor will it probably ever be the same again. I mean, seriously, how many of you are itching to go back to packed conferences anytime soon, or a live CPE in-person event, right? Or a concert, or a sporting event, or climbing on an airplane? You know, I mean, I'm Roman Catholic and I still haven't been back to church yet. Not sure when that'll happen either. So yeah, things have changed and maybe for good. So, you know, and just take a look inside your offices, right? I mean, are you ready? Are you really, really ready to welcome your entire staff back into the office yet? Are you ready to let them, you know, work in a physically distant manner? Are you ready to test them and make sure they're healthy, right? Do you have the personal protection equipment on hand to keep them healthy? Do you know what you'll do if one of them gets sick? I mean, these are all questions we didn't have to ask ourselves 4 or 5 months ago. And today they're table stakes. It's it's the wild, wild west out there. And we're just kind of building the bridges as we cross them, right? In a lot of ways. It goes for individuals, it goes for businesses, it goes for associations too, right? The folks I work for at the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute, they completely shifted gears when this crisis struck, right? Our association's focus shifted exclusively to kind of helping our members not only survive the immediate crisis, but thrive once it passed. And we began offering free weekly updates about what our members needed to know to navigate this crisis. We quickly shifted gears to offer our live programs in a virtual setting. Everything we did kind of centered on making sure our members' lives, which were being disrupted from all angles, were being, you know, disrupted as little as possible. So, you know, simply put, I think the value of membership in an association like the MACPA, I wouldn't say it increased when COVID-19 arrived, but it certainly became crystal clear, right? This is how my boss, Tom Hood, put it. He said, quote, "We work on the infrastructure of our profession. Our profession rides on a road that's paved with laws and regulations that impact the essential financial infrastructure of the United States from Main Street to Wall Street. That's really where we rolled up our sleeves and got to work. And then Tom said this also. He said, and it wasn't new work for us. It was understanding the players and being able to use our relationships to connect dots. And we're not done yet. Fixing that infrastructure and keeping it smooth and anticipating what might break has been the bulk of what we've done in the past 90 days. End quote. Infrastructure. It's really a perfect analogy, right? You don't notice it until it breaks. And then when it does break, all hell breaks loose, right? And that in essence is what the MACPA does. It's what all associations do, right? We maintain that infrastructure. It's what all associations do. And I mean, when you think about it, the work of associations, it's right there in their name. It's about connections. It's about relationships, right? It's about networks. These are the things that associations are designed to provide. And this is the time, a time of, you know, true crisis in which those things are more important than ever. The ability to connect you with people who can help you achieve your goals, the ability to protect you and your profession and your designation and your clients, advocating for or against good or bad legislation on your behalf. Because, you know, let's face it, you don't have time to do that on your own. Protecting you and your profession, for those very reasons. And I mean, that's what the MACPA tried to do in this crisis hit. It's what all associations try to do. You know, that's our charter, folks. That's what we're here to do. That's the value of membership in organizations like ours. So I wanted to explore that notion just a little bit further, because it really has taken on kind of increased importance as these last few days and weeks and months have gone on. So I sat down recently with Tom Hood. We talked about all of this, how the work of associations shifted significantly in the face of the pandemic and how members have benefited. And how that work will help members map out a post-pandemic strategy that ensures their relevance going forward. Good stuff here this week from someone who has been on the front lines of all of this COVID-19 change and complexity. Here is my conversation with Tom Hood. So, Tom, thanks for being here. I guess my first question for you is, what's the past 90 days been like? Give me a snapshot in the day of the COVID life of Tom Hood, if you will.
Well, I think you've been walking that journey with me. And if I had to put it in one word, it would be crazy, but meaningful. And what I mean by that is every day there seems to be at least twice a week, there's massive new developments in COVID. We've had five major federal legislative pieces. We've had tons of state activity. It started in the middle of tax season, which created a whole nother set of dynamics. So I guess the point is, it's just a massive amount of things happening that directly impact accounting and the clients of CPAs. And that means we have to stay on top of it. So we're trying to pedal as fast as we can to kind of stay ahead of this thing.
I mean, things were, life wasn't necessarily easy before all this happened. How did the association's priorities kind of shift as a result of this crisis?
Well, the good news is we were in the wrap-up stages of our general assembly, our legislative session, which is one of the biggest things we do every year, CPA Day, et cetera, advocacy. And that session, started the first week of January and was supposed to end the first week of April. It ended early, I think 19 days early, and the first time since the Civil War. So that gives you the magnitude of what happened. We did get through a really successful General Assembly session. We defeated sales tax on services, lots of other things, which we'll talk about. And that's when COVID happened, right? And all of a sudden, I'll never forget, it was a Friday, March 20th. I was on a call with all of my counterparts, the other 50 state CEOs, and I started hearing states closing in the Northeast. So Pennsylvania and New York and New Jersey. And I'm like, oh God, Maryland's going to be right next. Right? Yeah. It seemed like it was just moving down the coast. And that's when I realized that the state societies were saying we had to get permission to keep accounting working as an essential industry. And so I started looking into that. And I'm looking at, I wrote the letter to Larry Hogan on March 21st, which was a Saturday morning, and requested that essential workforce status for our members, because payroll, banking, depositing money, all have to keep going, right?
It's that financial sector. I mean, it can't just stop, right?
Yeah. And so, interestingly enough, when I started looking into it to write the letter to Larry Hogan, it was like, what makes this essential, right? So there was tons of requests, and I had to get in there before he made his decision to close the state, because once they decide to close the state, you could be in a queue with all kinds of other industries.
Oh, yeah.
So it turns out, with a little bit of homework, I found out that this goes back to 911 and the Department of Homeland Security. And they've identified what they call the 16 critical industries that infrastructure is essential to the functioning of the United States. You know, and there's some of the usual suspects like defense and manufacturing and those, but in there is the finance and accounting sector. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was like a blinding flash of the obvious, because it's ultimately why we are licensed as CPAs, why we've been licensed since 1900. But the idea of a critical essential infrastructure got me thinking back to my highway construction days. And then I started thinking about, like, what do we do as MACPA, and what did we do since COVID started? Effectively, we had to work on the infrastructure mm-hmm. of our profession. Like, our profession rides on a road that's paved with laws and regulations that all impact the essential finance infrastructure in the United States, from Main Street to Wall Street.
Yep.
So that's really where we got to work. And it wasn't new work for us. It was understanding the players and being able to build, you know, use our relationships to connect the dots. But I would say in a bit of hindsight, we're not done yet, but fixing that infrastructure and keeping it smooth and anticipating what might break has been the bulk of what we've done in the last 90 days.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of a brilliant analogy, that notion of infrastructure. You know, that type of stuff is stuff that you don't notice until it breaks, right? And then when it breaks, it all hell breaks loose. So, and that in essence is kind of what we do.
Well, and so in our case, we like to say we apply a whole lot of proactivity to that. So unlike our normal infrastructure that you drive on every day when you used to go to the office, those roads often are neglected. And so that infrastructure starts to crumble. And then you have to take a lane down, and they create detours, right? All that, mm-hmm. Or the steam pipe breaks and suddenly, or water main. Our job was to fix those problems before they happened. So the note to the governor was, before he closed the state, we got deemed essential without any worrying about how long it would take. So the minute we closed, we were open mm-hmm. as being able to work as an accounting infrastructure. And then we started getting to work on the extension of the due date for IRS, working with the AICPA, going to the treasurer. You were part of that, right? We wrote a lot of letters. We got that moving, that done. And again, what we started to do was say, where are areas where we think this infrastructure is going to fail or get impacted? And what can we do to be ahead of that? And, you know, laying down like fresh asphalt, making it smooth so it doesn't crumble underneath of us. And that's PPP, EIDL, all those, lobbying the Treasury. We just got the easy form for the PPP, loan forgiveness, working with the Maryland bankers and my counterparts all over the country and their counterparts in the bankers. We all lobbied the Treasury and SBA together, and they allowed that this week. I mean, it took us, we wrote the letter, I think, about 10 days ago, and we thought it would be 2 months, and it got done a lot sooner. So that would be areas that we're talking about, infrastructure. And then I would say, Bill, you know, interestingly, who's going to add new lanes? So we're doing this student pipeline initiative to recruit people to our profession. And that means we have to add a lane, right? We have to make sure we've got a nice smooth on-ramp for those students to come from high school to college to the CPA mm-hmm. and into the profession. So that's a big initiative of ours. CPA Evolution is a new project to help update the CPA exam. That's going to be massive. And we're in the middle. We just got that approved. AICPA did, and then we are supporting that initiative. That would be an example of that infrastructure. But then there's some big ones, as I thought about it, like the notion of limited liability companies and limited liability partnerships. Yeah, that was infrastructure. That was like we just widened the whole highway with a new liability-friendly way of practicing as our profession. And that was started by CPAs in state societies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I remember Bob Ehrlich, former ex-governor, was also a congressman in Maryland, but he was a delegate back then, and he sponsored that legislation that led to a whole new form of practice, not just for our profession, but every profession, engineers, lawyers, architects, and businesses, right? S-corps and limited liability partnerships. So that was an example of a big proactive way we did that.
And you mentioned a word a couple of minutes ago that I want to touch on real quick, and that's relationships. And you know, a lot of the work that the MACPA has done, I think, during this crisis really kind of speaks to that power of that word association and of building relationships with key people. So can you give me an example of how that has kind of played out over the last few months to your members' benefit?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, there's probably about 10 examples, but I'll give you the big ones. The big one you were involved in was sales tax on services right before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We helped form the coalition with the Maryland Chamber and the National Federation of Independent Businesses, right? Those groups, we rallied all the organized professions and business community to basically fight sales tax on services, and obviously that included accounting, tax, and consulting services. But we fought it. We added, as the CPAs, an extra angle because we fought it for the compliance complexity, not just the fact that it was an increase in taxes.
Right.
And when we educated the states that, you know, I think it was 5 states passed it and repealed it once they understood how complex it was, that made the day. We had a big chart with all the states on it, and we were up there at a press conference, right? We were broadcasting it on LinkedIn Live, and literally at overwhelming pressure from all the business community collectively, then we sat in testimony for like 8 hours that day to get our message heard, but that wore them down, and then we had a big grassroots impact. So that's how we did it. So that was, you know, lots of work with that community. That mm-hmm. community then held over into COVID. So that same group helped us lobby the governor for aid packages and extensions of time, like for renewing your license. We got that extended through the governor. That was a collective effort from that community that we did. Now, how did I figure out the state was going to close? That was from my other community, all the state society executives, you know, the Virginia and Idaho and California, right? Every Friday, we have a call with that group. Every Wednesday, we have a call with this group. So that helped a lot. Now, here's the other relationships, right? Our normal relationships with our legislature, Congress and the Maryland legislature, comptroller, governor. So when I wrote that letter to the governor that morning, the first person that came back to me was Secretary Kelly Schultz, Department of Commerce. So obviously, Hogan had his executive branch making these decisions. Secretary Schultz, before she was Commerce Secretary, was Secretary of Labor. In fact, she was over top of our state board. And right. She swore CPAs in 2 years ago. So we know her well. So I get this email back that says, Tom, don't worry, you're covered. I mean, like within an hour.
Wow.
That's a relationship, right? That's pretty yeah. cool.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. I mean, and it's so powerful. I mean, we talk to members all the time about the importance of building relationships with key people, but there are concrete examples right there of how that plays out. And I think that just speaks to the importance of building those types of networks.
Well, and then I have to congratulate our members, right? CPA Day in Annapolis, you know, we had 200 plus on the steps of the Capitol. When we did the key person outreach looking at the Ways and Means Committee, which is where sales tax on services was, we had 1,700 members attached to committee members on that Ways and Means Committee.
Yep.
And so when we reached out, we said, write them a letter and say what's going on. And sure enough, you know, the legislature, literally, we overwhelmed their email boxes, Bill. They actually were stopping. They couldn't even accept the volume from our members. And we're the most effective grassroots down there from members who we can match to districts like that and execute that kind of grassroots.
Yeah, yeah. And interestingly, it sounds as though, I mean, that was like the last piece of really key legislation that we were working on before this crisis hit, was that sales tax on services. And now we're starting to hear rumblings that we may have to deal with that again next year because of this crisis. Explain what's going on there.
Yeah, so the first projection that came out of the comptroller, Franchot, was a $2.8 billion deficit in Maryland beyond what they had already thought. They've adjusted that down to just a mere like $1.1 billion. But it's as bad or worse than the Great Recession of 08, which was the last time they had a huge overwhelming deficit from reduction in tax revenue, and the year Y2K issue in the turn of the 2000. So in this notion, it's going to be $1.1 billion or more, depending on how long this lockdown continues. So they're going to have to raise taxes, and they're going to be looking in all the usual places. So gross receipts tax, sales tax on services, rise in income tax rates, probably for corporates, not for individuals. That's what we're expecting in that area. But here's one that I'm really worrying about. Pre-COVID, there was a tendency around the country to eliminate state licensing boards, not just of accountancy, but any license. Because this is where the far right and far left agreed, which is very rare, but they wanted to effectively give people choice in their jobs and take away unnecessary regulation, a word unnecessary in parens. So in that notion, they started to say, let's get rid of, we don't need tattoo parlors to be licensed. We don't need cosmetologists. And then that slowly grew to include CPAs, engineers, even doctors. Like, imagine driving over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, and it says, this bridge built by an engineer with a 4.2 rating on Yelp. No license, just a 4.2 Yelp rating. Right. They literally were having that kind of conversation, Bill, because it would save all of the overhead in the Department of Labor that mm-hmm. actually has to administer these licenses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's so that it didn't happen in Maryland. We had great relationships. We've been able to, it didn't even come up in Maryland. But it came up in 19 other states, including Ohio, like some big, you think, progressive states. So it scared us. Now, what's going to happen in post-COVID? There's going to be a huge appetite for the need for reducing costs or increasing revenue.
Yeah.
If you eliminate all those licensing boards, what happens? You reduce costs to the state. So I'm afraid that's going to rise in a really, really big way. And that literally could threaten our whole licensed profession. Like, so that would like shut down the CPA highway, right? There would be no licenses for auditing, any of that stuff anymore. So that's an area that we're already working on to make sure we're proactive on. We've been watching it. We've been talking to our Secretary of Labor, Tiffany Robinson. None of them have an appetite for it, but you never know what the legislature might dream up in this environment, especially if other states are doing it.
Seems like a lot of the most important work that associations do, and here I'm thinking of this type of advocacy work that you do, often goes kind of unnoticed by much of the membership. Is that like a source of frustration for you, or is it just like the cost of doing what we do? I mean, we've got to do this, but and I know that's a conversation that we have all the time, is how can we make more people aware of this type of important infrastructure type work that we do. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, so I think there's two elements of it, if you will, right? This notion that it is work that most people don't understand. Most CPAs hate legislative and politics stuff. So that in and of itself is a challenge. It's also something that non-members get until we can't do it. So mm-hmm. you don't have to be a member. We're going to still protect the CPA license in Maryland, but But like in COVID, we've had to make reductions and cuts, and we're not too far away from when would we start reducing our services there because CPAs aren't valuing it by paying dues for it. So that's where our 100% membership initiative is. We do need more members. The old adage that their strength in numbers could never be more true. So if we're going to be fighting big things, we're going to need every CPA in the boat with us, which then helps all of us. So that's number one. And I think the other part is it's selling the invisible part, right? Which is we just have to make the invisible visible. And that's what we're trying to do with updates that we've been doing all over the place, managing partners, all of our members, CPA Day in Annapolis, swearing in ceremony. Those are all big visible pieces of our infrastructure and our strength as a profession, because that's what politicians pay attention to.
And that's another thing that kind of a new type of thing that we've been doing over the last few months are these kind of COVID-19 updates. What's going on with all this stuff that we've been offering basically to members for free with CPE, just so they're on top of all the changes. And that's that's a new service, but it's certainly an important one for members.
Yeah. And we'll be continuing it as long as we have to. I'd love to get to a point where they don't have to be daily, but
right.
And they're really weekly, but it feels like it's daily.
It is crazy. It's all COVID all the time, it seems like. And it's almost like membership dues for associations like ours. It's like a type of insurance almost for members, yeah. Right?
Because if you don't join and pay and participate, bad things can happen to you, right? That's exactly, so the one thing that I like to bring up is the story of the rental car industry. This is probably 10, 15 years ago, but rental cars, as the industry consolidated, and there's a common theme to the CPA profession, right? Small firms get merged into these bigger national firms. Mm-hmm. They stop supporting their state associations in rental cars. Hertz, Avis, Budget just went to the national.
Yep.
And then, like, literally the minute they pulled out of those states overnight, 40 states within 2 years enacted surcharges that you now see on your rental car invoice. So you pay about 20% when you go rent a car because you're out of state and they know you're not going to complain.
Right.
So that's what could happen if we don't watch this carefully, because that's what these guys will do. They'll take anything that they can when they think a group is weak.
Yeah, I mean, the phrase that's been, it's almost become cliche. It's been used so much over the last few months, this idea of a new normal or a next normal or things like that. I'm kind of curious what the future of an association and the work that you do, what does that future look like to you? Has it changed much at all because of all this? Or, what does the future of an association look like to you?
I think it's going to increase. I think the post-COVID era, there's going to be all kinds of laws and regulations that are going to be coming up after this. Like right now, we're trying to protect firms and companies from liability when they bring their workers back, because trial lawyers are going to say, Bill, you went back to work at MACPA and you got sick. We're going to sue MACPA. Mm. Whether they can prove that you got it on the job or not, they'll still sue. Yeah. And that's going to be horrible. So we've petitioned Congress, our Maryland congressional delegation, and we've petitioned the governor. The governor said he agrees with us, but we can't do it until we have a new legislative session. So we're going to look for sponsors and try to set that up for 2021. Congress, it is in the HEROES Act right now. So if that passes, we'll get it. But that's an era that you're going to see hard trend of increasing regulation and law bill. It's going to continue. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, In our case, I think it's two things. CPAs have really shown up during this crisis, right? I call them the first responders to the financial crisis. Front lines of the financial crisis, probably better to say that. But they've really been showing up, getting businesses relief and helping them survive. That means the whole profession is elevated. And that also means we're going to have more regulation. I think it's going to elevate our role. So I think it's a bright future from that standpoint, especially for us who knows how to do this. And we've got the relationships and the kind of background over 120 years of experience passing these laws and protecting our infrastructure.
Well, Tom, thanks for taking the time. I know how crazy it's been, how busy you are, and I appreciate you sitting down with me. Thank you.
Awesome. Great being here, Bill. Thank you.
So there you have it, the value of association membership in a nutshell. That was Tom Hood, president and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. Learn and read more at macpa.org. And speaking of the Business Learning Institute, just a friendly reminder that this week's sponsor is the BLI. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework, it's all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified over and over again as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's it, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.